And genuine belief in Christ produces genuine repentance. They are two sides of the same coin. It is not a work. God grants repentance. God grants faith. It is not a work. It is a response to the powerful, living, and active Word of God.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today as you continue your series in Jonah, you take us inside the city of Nineveh to observe how the people responded to Jonah's preaching.
You know, Dave, this is one of the most amazing portions of this entire book. Nineveh, as you recall, was a massive city. They were a superpower in the world of that time. They were violent, ruthless, corrupt to the core. Yet when Jonah declared the word of the Lord to them, they repented. The whole city repented. Imagine that. Upwards of 500,000 people miraculously saved. But the question is, was that salvation real? Was their repentance genuine? That's what we'll discover in today's program.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Indeed, we see fasting in Scripture as a self-denial to represent a sorrowful humility before God because of sin. And in Scripture, it is shown as an evidence at times of repentance. Joel chapter 2, verse 11. The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome. Who can endure it? Who could stand? Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and render your heart, not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger. And I want to make it clear that it is not the external activities that bring about God's favor. Those are evidences of a changed inside. We'll see that. But what is this idea about putting on sackcloth? Well, sackcloth was a cloth made of black goat's hair. It was coarse, it was rough, it was thick, and it was obviously used for making sacks, right? Sackcloth. And in Scripture, we see it being used in two related ways when people would put on sackcloth. One, when those who were mourning over a deceased loved one, they would put on sackcloth as a visible sign of their distress. But throughout Scripture, we also see that sackcloth represented a mourning over sin and thus a repentance. And I'm going to give you some examples here as we go. First Chronicles chapter 21, you can note these down and come back. So I'm going to give you about five. First Chronicles 21:16. We have a passage in which Satan incited David to number his armies. Satan incited David to number his armies, which Satan incited David to trust in his own wisdom rather than to trust in the Lord. He incited him to do that. And God confronted him and was disciplining Israel. And at this point, David repents, and we see this idea of sackcloth. 1 Chronicles 21:16, then David and the elders, covered with sackcloth, fell on their faces. And David said to God, is it not I who commanded to count the people? Indeed, I am the one who has sinned and done very wickedly. The sackcloth was an external evidence of an internal repentance. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1. Now on the 24th day of this month, the sons of Israel assembled fasting in sackcloth and dirt upon them. And the descendants of Israel separated themselves from all the foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. External symbol of something going on the inside. Daniel chapter 9, a long prayer. You can read it in your own time. It's a wonderful prayer where Daniel recognizes that they are in the 70 years discipline because of their sin. Daniel prays. Daniel 9, chapter 3. So I gave my attention to the Lord to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned. We have committed iniquity, acted wickedly, rebelled, even turning aside from thy commandments and ordinances. New Testament example, the Lord Jesus Christ condemning the cities who rejected Him, the Lord, in their midst, comparing them to other judgments. Matthew 11:21, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth." Repentance as evidence in that culture, an external manifestation of sorrow. That was what sackcloth was about in these cultures. It was a visible sign of a humble repentance or a mourning or sorrow. Now, I need to share this with you so you don't take this the wrong way. Sackcloth and fasting doesn't mean you're humble before the Lord. Throwing on a sack and walking around not eating does not mean your heart has been changed. It is an external action based on an internal repentance. And that's what was happening with the Ninevites, as we will see. These Ninevites, as I believe and will see, clearly repented at the preaching of Jonah, as the Lord Jesus said. And their outward actions were a symbol of that. Now, there's lots of people doing lots of things to try to bring about forgiveness. There's lots of people running around in spiritual sackcloth and ashes trying to get God to forgive them rather than having a broken heart for their sin. And it's God's word which He uses to bring about repentance. Story of the rich man and Lazarus, pretty familiar story. Luke chapter 16, and I'm not going to go through the whole story, but the rich man dies and he ends up in Hades. His body goes in the grave. He's in Hades saying, "Put out the fire in my tongue." And Lazarus dies and he has comforted the beggar, Lazarus the one. And the rich man says, "Send Lazarus to get some water to cool this flame in my tongue." And Abraham, here symbolically the father, said, "Child, remember during your life you received the good things and Lazarus likewise the bad things. But now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that those may not cross over from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Folks, you're being warned right now. But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They have the word of God." That's what Jonah preached. That's what we have here. Preach the word. But he said, "No, Father Abraham, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will," here's the issue, "repent." But he said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses, the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." But the men of Nineveh, they repented. Jesus says in Matthew 12:41, the men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. And sackcloth and fasting was an outward, visible sign of something that had happened in their hearts as they were petitioning the Lord to stay His judgment because they recognized they had sinned. What an amazing work of God through the Word of God. Salvation is from the Lord. Jonah, in obedience, preaches the message of judgment on the Ninevites. They believe and are saved. An amazing salvation. So we have the people's response. Now look at the king's response. Verse 6. When the word of the Lord reached the king of Nineveh, he arose, back in Jonah 3, from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on ashes. Notice when this timing of this happened. When the word reached the king. He heard the word when it reached him. Here's his response of humility. He gets off his throne. He throws his robe down, covers himself with sackcloth, and sat on ashes. This sign of repentance and humility. Now, I believe he really did repent. As we see, he proclaims to the people this message of repentance. Verse 7. And he issued a proclamation, and it said, "In Nineveh, by decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. And then let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish." Folks, there are all kinds of ideas these days in the church about what true repentance looks like. Do you know what it looks like? Have you truly repented? Here we have an Old Testament example that Jesus proclaims in Matthew. And notice there are four elements here in this example of repentance. First of all, a visible humbling and mourning over sin. In this proclamation, we see him proclaiming a fast for man and beast. Verse 7. Verse 8, they should be covered with sackcloth. Again, this outward symbol of a changed heart and not the reverse. But true repentance doesn't stop here. Look at, he says, and let men call earnestly, middle of 8, on God. Let them call, the word is mightily. Let them call mightily on God. Intense prayer upon God. And notice there's a turning from sin. But before that, notice they're calling earnestly on the Lord to save them from this judgment, which they have been convicted of through the preaching of Jonah. And that's what the Lord says in Romans chapter 10. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. The Ninevites called on him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then shall they call upon it if they haven't believed, disbelief? How then shall they believe if they haven't heard? They got to hear to believe. How then shall they hear without a preacher? That's a caruso, a proclaimer. And how shall they preach if they're not sent? Jonah was sent. Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. And he goes on, however, speaking of Israel, they didn't heed the glad tidings. Where Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Jonah spoke God's word. They believed as evidenced by their repentance. You see that? He says, call on God earnestly. Do you want to know if you've really repented? When you were saved, did you call on God earnestly? Or did you raise your hand and say, sounds good to me? Did you call upon the name of the Lord? Whoever will call upon him will be saved. And let each turn from his wicked ways, repent. The word is shuv in Hebrew. It means to turn, to repent, relent. It's used often in the Old Testament to speak of a turning. And a biblical repentance, as we see here, is a turning to God from sin. And genuine belief in Christ produces genuine repentance. They are two sides of the same coin. It is not a work. God grants repentance. God grants faith. It is not a work. It is a response to the powerful, living, and active Word of God. And notice, lastly, we see a recognition here of God's right to judge. Turning from sin, the violence wicked from their hands, call on God, turn from their sin. Let me go back to that. Folks, if you repented and you didn't turn from your sin or have this desire, Lord God, save me from my sin. I'm a sinful man. Maybe that's not genuine repentance. Verse 9, who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we may not perish. The Ninevites were not given, as far as we can see, information concerning salvation. They were giving information concerning judgment. And they responded. They repented. They acknowledged God's burning anger, his right towards them. They didn't say, oh, God couldn't be angry at me. He's a loving God. They recognized their sin and they cried out to him. We see genuine repentance here. They mourned over their sin before a holy God. They called upon his name. They turned to him from their wicked ways, recognizing his right to judge. That's a picture of genuine repentance. And it all begins with they believed in God. They heard the message. The Ninevites repented at Jonah's preaching. That's a summary. Matthew 12. Is that not what Jesus said? He said, the men of Nineveh, verse 41, Matthew 12, shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it. They're going to be on the judging side, the men of Nineveh. And we know from Scripture that the saints will judge the world. They were saved. And they're going to stand against this unbelieving generation of Christ's time who rejected him. And it says, they shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. They repented. This is what biblical repentance looks like. There is a mourning over sin. There is a crying out to God. There is a turning from that sin, crying out, and there is acknowledgement of his right to judge. The Ninevites did that. Now, on a side note, the Greek word used here in Matthew 12, Jesus uses is metanoia. It means literally to change your mind. Now, there's some bad teaching out in churches these days. Since we're talking about repentance, I need to share. They have reduced repentance simply to just a change of mind. That's it. Saying that's all it means. As long as someone changes their mind, they've repented. And folks, this couldn't be further from the truth, because a change of mind will produce a change of behavior. The Ninevites changed their minds based on the word of God, but also it produced a change of behavior, a humility, a conviction of sin. And I want to remind you that salvation is a work of God. God grants repentance. Romans chapter 2. Or do you think lightly of the riches of kindness or forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? 2 Timothy 2:25, Paul says, if perhaps God might grant them repentance. And true repentance, as we will see as we close here, will bring about a change of life, of an action. So verse 10, we see what God does here in response to the Ninevites. We saw Jonah's repentance, he obeys. We've seen the repentance of the Ninevites. They turned to God. Wicked, vile people. Read Nahum 3. I'm not even going to read it with the kids here. They turned to God and they're saved. They repented. Now what happens when God sees this? Verse 10, when God saw their deeds. Notice he saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way. Then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring on them. He did not do it. So then God observed their wicked ways, that they turned from those. They repented. He turned, same word, he repented, but not from sin. He turned and relented from what he declared he would do, and he didn't do it. God has declared that he will judge you for your sin, and he will relent from that declaration if you turn to Christ, repenting of your sins. Now, there's a couple things to chew on as we finish here, but let me point out these things here. First of all, God didn't relent until there was true repentance. He didn't relent until he saw their deeds. They were an evidence of a genuinely changed heart. And that's what Apostle Paul says in Acts 26, and I'll read a portion of this as he gives his testimony to King Agrippa. We're not reading the whole thing, but he says in verse 19 of Acts 26, consequently, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those in Damascus first and also in Jerusalem, and then throughout the region of Judea, even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. A genuine repentance will manifest itself in different deeds. Genuine repentance. You're going to change. I'm not saying we're saved by works. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And he grants repentance. But if it's genuine, you're going to turn. Genuine faith in Christ will produce genuine repentance. They're two sides of the same coin. They're required for salvation. They're tied together. Jesus said that the repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. Salvation is from the Lord. And one last thing I want to point out is that God declares eternal calamity and judgment, that he will pour out his wrath on sin and sinners. There is the terrifying expectation of judgment for those who die in their sins. The gentleman I shared about who passed away last night didn't trust Christ, didn't repent of his sins. He is in terrible eternal peril. Those who died on that plane crash, if they didn't trust Christ, they are in terrible eternal peril. And if you haven't repented of your sins, you are in peril. And God is gracious. He will relent. He does declare what he will do, that he will judge you eternally, but he will relent if you repent. Now, in the Old Testament, they had a shadow of what would bring their salvation, fulfilled in the person of Christ, who died for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to God. So then, what does true repentance look like? It is a change of mind brought about by a belief in God via his word, which produces a genuine change, a turning to God from sin. And we see in the Ninevites' case, there is a mourning over sin. A humble mourning because of sin, an earnest calling upon God, a recognition of God's right to judge, tied up in the context of faith in what God has declared in His Word. Friend, where are you today? Has the Word of God convicted you concerning God's judgment and His right to judge? When you sin against a holy God. And He has declared your calamity because of your sin. Your calamity is coming. But God will relent. If you trust in Christ, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, cry out to Him for salvation, He will relent. He will save you. What about those who claim to be believers here? Have you truly repented? Does your salvation experience line up with that of Scripture? Were you broken over your sin and God's right to judge you? Did you cry out for Him to save you from sin? That's what He's saving you from. Save from our sins. If you came to Jesus to save you from, you know, whatever it might be apart from sin, that's not salvation. Have you truly repented? What about us believers who have repented? I see so many well-meaning, naive Christians who want people saved so badly they compromise the message. They really want people to be saved, but yet they're unwilling to submit to Christ. And all this missions and evangelism and all this stuff we see is centered around getting a crowd primed up and pumped up so that their hearts might be changed rather than proclaiming the Word of God. Are you sinning with your well-meaning desires to have people saved by following people like that or being part of that? Folks, Scripture, it's the proclamation of the Word of God that God uses to bring salvation. What about those of us who are saved? Are we genuinely thankful for what God has done? He has saved us from His wrath. We are so blessed. It is an amazing grace, as we sang, that He would do this for us. The Ninevites understood that God had a right to judge them, and they cried out to Him. Are you thankful for what He's done? Folks, people are perishing. The laborers are few. There are very few people who will declare the Word of God. Are you willing to faithfully proclaim the truth? Obediently, like Jonah was.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Greg's message today is from his series in the Book of Jonah. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that He took on human flesh, that He came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that His work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to Him and ask Him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word and Your Son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know You, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in Your Son Jesus Christ for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our New Believers Packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your New Believers Packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.